This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Hélène Kane. Hélène is an innovation consultant, trainer, facilitator, and speaker with over 20 years of experience helping companies navigate innovation challenges. She's in demand as a speaker on the topic of design thinking and creativity, and recently did a TEDx talk on high-performance collaboration for teams. She's the author of the new book, Fire Up Innovation, Sparking and Sustaining Innovation Teams. Thanks so much for joining me today, Hélène.
Thank you for inviting me on the show. I'm really excited, Diane.
I am excited to have you here. Innovation is one of my favorite topics. So I've thought of a couple different ways of asking you this question. And I believe I've landed on one, and it is this. What types of organizations do you think need an innovation team?
I actually think that any organization that doesn't have, at least doesn't think about innovation and doesn't have teams working on innovation projects, is probably won't exist in the next 5 years or 10 years. The pace of changing is so fast. There is changes that need to happen, whether you have a small business or a big business. And so you need to be thinking about it. You might not have a formal, you know, innovation team that only works on innovation projects if you're a smaller business, but you should have innovation and initiatives.
Ah, okay. And who should lead the innovation team or initiatives?
This is a great question. It's great to have at least somebody that will champion the team and just be sure that there is space for it in an organization. Because the challenge with innovation is that it's about risk-taking, is about doing things differently. Mm-hmm. And so if whoever's on the team is not supporting when they come up with something like, it's like, we're not sure, this is different, we're uncomfortable with it, then innovation can be killed really fast. The other thing is, I think what's important is to have a diverse team. So don't have a bunch of, have a multifunctional team, have people with different backgrounds, experiences, way of thinking. That's really important. And in terms of leading, I think there's two ways to think about leading it, is who is going to be ultimately making decisions, and also who might be facilitating the team, which may not be, and actually is better off, it's not the same person.
Oh, all right. Well, so let's go into some best practices for successful innovation. So there's what you just talked about, which not having the same person being responsible for different things. What are some other best practices?
So as I mentioned, diversity is important because we're trying to do something that we haven't done before. Otherwise, we wouldn't be working together. And so having multiple perspectives is really important. And also not be only internally focused on what we think things should be, but have users' impact really early on the process, because people are going to be affected by the change you created. And if we just in our head, we're enforcing each other's biases and way of thinking, that can end up not being the best place. So be sure that you involve people that are not internal, unless it's only internal projects, but for something that has an impact on other users, just be sure you involve as many different potential users early on the process. And when I say users, it could be the end user, the person that's going to buy or purchase your product, but it can also be a key suppliers, because by creating this new product or experiences, the supplier is going to work differently. And if you don't involve them, you might discover later or too late in the process that there might be an issue with them changing the way they make things or the deadline or some other things.
So, okay. I'm so glad that you just said that, because I want to make sure that the listeners, it sounds to me like we're not just talking about innovating when it comes to product or service makeup, but innovating, it feels like it's a broader scope. It could be internal innovation. It could be...
The way it is, innovation is about change. So when you create change, then you innovate, because you don't do business as usual, whether it's internally focused or externally focused. So that's a broader definition of innovation in that sense.
Got it. Yeah, that's really valuable, because I think we think about innovation, and if we only think about it in terms of making changes or updates to whatever we're offering, we're not really seeing it for everything, for its full value.
Yes. I mean, it's important, like we have a team that work a certain way and that might not be working anymore. Or we want to integrate different function, or we want to, create something to improve our process internally. That is also innovation. Sometimes people think it has to be huge, but innovation doesn't have to be huge. It has to be different. And for me, start with, if business as usual works, then we kind of have a process or system, we know how to do it. But when things need to be different and change, then there is a possibility for innovation. And it could totally be, and it should be often internal innovation as well.
So are there indications that people can look out for that would spark a conversation around innovation? You know, because you just said if things are working, then might not be a need. But it makes me think that there's some sort of, like, something that happens or something that would clue us in that we need to be making some change.
So, yes, there's a few ways to think about it. One is, like, we're stuck. Like, what we've been doing in the past is not working. So that's an obvious one. Yeah. The other one is there is pain or gap. So we're doing something, but it's not really smooth. We adopted this new software, and now we have a huge learning curve. And this is really not smooth. So we need to really think about a training program or something. So this needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. Or, there is place when people are really stressed about something. So, yeah, it might be working, but maybe that's a way to optimize things. So when there is pain, when there is gap, when there is need that are not fully met, when people are trying to do a job and it's not flowing, that could also be indication that we should be looking at it and look at possibility of creating change and innovating.
Okay. Yeah, that is great. And you say that we should plan for failure. Can you explain that?
Yes. So the challenge with innovation is people don't know what's going to happen. A lot of people are uncomfortable with the change and the ambiguity of not knowing. And there is a risk, because you don't know. And so, there is a change, a mindset that I would really recommend, is saying failure will happen, and that's okay, because we will learn, but we have to make it cheap and fast so it doesn't have huge consequences. So what I really recommend is the mentality of early prototyping. So we have something, let's get it out really cheap, really fast. Let's check it with a couple of customers or users. Let's get feedback. Let's iterate. So the first version is not really even a failure. It just didn't work so well. Or we learned something, but this is missing, or people are confused. Great. We keep doing it and on and on. So it doesn't even early on, it's not even failure. It's just learning new things, and we're imperfect, and we just leave, and I'm more comfortable with the imperfection.
So it's more like looking at it in terms of learning what works and what doesn't work, not so much.
Yes. And letting go of perfection. Like, I mean, in corporate, we'd feel like we can't share something with even our manager before it's perfect. And we have all the numbers and all the information, and it goes on and on. And we waste so much time trying to be perfect rather than say, this is draft. Let's discuss it. What's missing? What do we need to learn and things like that? So it's a different way of seeing it, is seeing that, I think perfection doesn't even exist.
Yes.
Letting go of that assumption and say, hey, I'm going to be clear. I'm going to be clear. It's not finalized. I don't have all my numbers in a row. I don't have all the information, but I really want feedback, whether it's internally with other people in the organization. So by the time I go to management, they're not really surprised that you've been working on this for 6 months and where are you? Or I have a very different opinion. Or as I say, with external vendors, suppliers, users, anybody else that can help us kind of build that as we go along.
That's great. And we know that whenever you have a group of people, there's the potential for conflict. So when it comes to, having an innovation team, how do you manage conflict within that team if it occurs?
So conflict can happen. The first thing I like to do is to be proactive about it. And one of the reasons often there is conflict is people feel like they are not heard, and there is no space for their idea and their thoughts. So I really like to work. I use a key principle of creativity, which is called the dynamic balance, which is in creativity anywhere, you have to do two things. You have to diverge and look at a lot of options. And then you have converge and decide. It could be, let's look at different problems we need to solve and pick one, or let's look at a bunch of ideas and pick one, or look at different prototype and pick one, or look at all the things we can do to implement our ideas and pick the one we want to use. What is important is when we diverge, we have a space and time, and it can be 5 minutes, it can be a day, it can be a month, whatever we define, that everything can go. And so that's the place when somebody has an idea, it can be said. Doesn't mean that's going to be selected, but at least they have a chance to be heard. And I like to use post-it notes for that, whether they're real notes or they're on a virtual whiteboard, because then everybody has the same, and every thought has the same weight. We don't know who's writing what, and it doesn't really matter. And everything can be said and viewed by everybody. And then the second step is when you make decision, it is also important to agree on the criteria for decision. So it's not like, oh, more people like my idea because we did a vote, and then I feel really bad because people didn't like my idea. Is let's agree that the criteria to select these ideas, for example, are based on how long it's going to take to implement, the cost you might have, whether it's in line with a brand or thing like that. So then it becomes much less subjective, and it becomes more like we can agree on this. And that, in my experience, avoid proactively a lot of the potential conflicts.
Oh, I like that a lot. It's having that, setting the expectation at the beginning so we know how we're going to deal with things when they come up, so that it's more even.
Exactly. And also sometimes create a parking lot. So people have something important to say, might not really be in the topic, or it might be the right time, but let's capture it. So once again, people feel heard. I think a lot of the conflicts become when people feel like they're not heard, they're not respected, they're denied. That helps.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree with you on that. How does AI play in with this whole innovation process, or does it?
It does, and nobody has a full answer because it's changing so fast. I mean, it is insane what's happening in a month or two. Feel like it would be 5 years in our previous lives. So, where I am at right now, and you know, well, don't quote me in 2 years. is that I think there's still space for human. I think what AI can be really good is the diverging part that we were talking about, coming up with a lot of options. So you can ask for, you know, I'm looking at some, I'm trying to solve this problem. What ideas do you have? And, you know, it can give you a bunch. And then you can add with also the one from your team and all that. I think the decision making, the converge part is still, should be mostly human. Because we know there's so much we know from, you know, working in an organization, and it's not only it's a culture, is what has done before, is things that we have from all different backgrounds. I still think we have an edge here. And I would really think that that is important. And also kind of the team effort, like having that multiple perspective from human, I think is also important. So that's where I'm at right now. Things might change really fast. So
I hear you. I know. We, you know, listen, it's a moment in time. We can only answer it for a moment in time, because tomorrow it'll be totally different.
Exactly.
And what about, post COVID, there are so many people working remotely, or it's a hybrid situation. Sometimes they're in the office, sometimes they're not. Some people are, some people aren't, whatever. How do you innovate in a hybrid, or, you know, this virtual world that we're in? How do you keep that innovation team going?
So there is obviously trade-offs. I mean, there's something about all being in a room and working on a project together, but the reality is it's not happening that often or all the time, because there might always be a team member or two that are not there, or they're in a very different location or things like that. So the reality is, how can we use then the technology to help us and kind of counterbalance the trade-off that we won't have everybody together at the same time? And I really like the use of whiteboard. You know, we used to have those war room when we have everything on the wall of a room. Those don't exist, but really the whiteboard are the new virtual war room. And so what I like is we can put everything there. We can also use the benefit of working asynchronously, which can be great. So let's say we are working on a challenge and we are trying to define the challenge, and we can ask a team, we'll give you a week, put all the information that you have related to the challenge. And then we can all go at different time, look at what other people have done, do some work. And then there might be a time when the team meet either in person or hybrid or all remotely. And then we kind of organize that data and say, hey, based on that data, what are the key things that we need to consider as we kind of defining that problem better and come up with ideas? So that's a really positive trade-off, that we don't have to all be there at the same time, but we can still be working on the same project in one space, so the information stay there. And then the other thing that I like with whiteboard and the idea of virtual notes is that we can move them. So there is it's not like when you write linearly, it's kind of written in stone, but with notes, we can move them, we can cluster them, we can organize them, we can summarize them. So there has that possibility to do that all a lot of converging activity that we can do on the whiteboard themselves.
Oh yeah, I had not thought about that, but that really is, because sometimes you need the opportunity to just really think before you get to a place where you're ready to share whatever thoughts you have or ideas you have. And so it gives people, an opportunity to mull.
And there is a lot of debate about, you know, introvert and extrovert. And I find that a whiteboard is actually great because everybody has their thinking time and they have the same chance to have their idea out, whether they're extrovert or introvert, because it's all there in writing.
Right. Oh, yeah, that is a huge point. This is so interesting. I love this. I mean, I totally agree with you. And this diversity of thought and just, you know, having a diverse workforce and client base and supplier base for me is critically important for growth and for innovation. I think it's hard to innovate and be creative if everyone looks the same, comes from the same experience, thinks the same. You know, it's groupthink.
Yes, and good biases.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's hard to get past them to really grow. So, Hélène, I thank you so much for spending this time. Will you let the listeners know how they can find you and how they can get your book, please?
Yes, of course. So my book is called Fire Up Innovation, and you can find it anywhere you can buy books online. You can also find it online on independent bookstore. I like to support them. And then you can contact me on LinkedIn if you're interested, if you have questions. And if you're more curious about the book or my work in general, you can check my website, which is fireupinnovation.com. And the book page on the website is called fireupinnovation.com/book. And I would love to hear what your comments. You know, one thing I learned is that the power of feedback. And so any feedback, any thoughts, please share with me. And and it was just a pleasure talking with you, Diane.
It was a pleasure talking with you too. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Hey friends, this is Jim Knight, former 21-year Hard Rock executive turned best-selling author and top 10 keynote speaker.
And I'm Brant Menswar, former frontman of Hollywood's most dangerous band turned top 10 motivational speaker and best-selling author.
We host the how-to podcast Thoughts That Rock, where we talk to rock stars, athletes, CEOs, astronauts, and even next-door neighbors who share their expertise and opinions. Together, we tackle the most interesting and challenging topics of today.
Whether you want to learn how to become more confident, how to deal with anxiety at work,
or how to write a hit song, or use Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in life,
we've got hundreds of episodes to help amp up your life and move you forward.
Subscribe to Thoughts That Rock wherever you listen to podcasts, and check out evergreenpodcast.com for more information.